So I have noticed, and this has nothing to do with this podcast today, the podcast topic. This has nothing to do with the podcast topic at hand, but I have noticed that I am pretty much a perfectionist in just about everything I do. Once I put my heart and soul into something or get it on my mind that I want to do something a certain way, I can't talk myself out of it. And what I mean is, if you follow my YouTube channel, well, let me just backtrack a little bit before I get to the topic at hand. Photography is my life. That's all I do, right? That's all I did do. Photography and Photoshop. I'm heavy into both. I know both pretty well, pretty much considered an expert, and I'm not saying that to brag. Sorry, that's Penny in the background. I'm not saying that to brag. I'm saying that to say that I've put my life into it. So 16 years in, I better be somewhat of an expert, right? You know, I better know this well. And what I'm getting at is, like, my brother, he wanted me to get into video. And I'm like, man, nah, video's intimidating. I don't do video. Video's too much. Come to find out, it's not that difficult. It was just stuck in my head. I made it difficult for me. I mean, don't get me wrong. Video has its trials, you know, but so does Photoshop. You know, I know a lot of people who do video that can do video blindfolded and can't do Photoshop to save their lives, you know, and that's how I was. I could do Photoshop blindfolded, but when it came to video, I'm like, no, thank you. But, you know, of course, I looked into it and I started to figure it out. And like I said, it was all in my head and I got out of my head and got to it. But as I started growing into video editing, I wanted to do actual video. So I bought some video cameras and all that stuff. And if you look at my YouTube channel, I mean, you kind of want to, but you kind of don't. You know what I mean? Some of my earlier videos, I should be taking them down, but that's okay. You know, because that goes along with this freelancing world that we live in, freelancing that we do. Nobody starts off an expert, right? But you got to put the hours in to become that expert. You got to put the hours in to become that person. And I put in countless hours. I mean, if I was to look at how many hours I've logged into photo editing and Photoshop and photography and all that stuff, I probably freak myself out. And I mean that, what I mean by that is, I think I said it on my last podcast or the podcast before, I usually don't work jobs that long. And I know they say when you work for yourself, it's not really a job, but at the end of the day, you're logging hours just the same. And if I was to look at how many hours I've put into Photoshop and photography, I'd probably freak myself out. But I digress. Going back to video. I started, my video was trash, especially the audio. I mean, the lighting was bad because I just didn't make the correlation in my head. But of course, I put the hours in to study it, to figure out what I was doing wrong so I wouldn't do it wrong, make sure I did it right. Anyway, with that, my audio was terrible. I started focusing on the video so much, and I finally got my video lighting right. So let me go ahead and give myself a round of applause for that. Before I do that, let me make sure I know where my round of applause button is. Here we go. There we go. That's an applause for myself because I finally got my video lighting right, but my audio suffered as a result because I put so much effort into just the video quality and the video lighting only. And you're not supposed to do that. You know, you're supposed to learn everything together or, well, I guess so. I mean, I guess it just depends on how you learn. But for me, I was so focused on getting my video lighting right that I neglected my audio. But then I stepped my audio up. And that's where all this rambling is leading me to. I don't know if you guys notice a difference or not, but of course, you know, I started off with some different microphones when I started doing this podcast. I started off with some cheap microphones, and for the most part, I thought they were pretty good. But before I even started my own podcast, I started listening to other people's podcasts for a barometer, for a comparison to know what my standard should be. And I didn't know anything about podcasting or anything about audio or audio quality. But when I started with some cheap mics, and I'm not going to say the name brand of the cheaper microphones because that could be considered bashing that company, and I'm not going to do that. So, but I did start with some cheaper microphones, and they were okay for the average bear, but I'm not the average bear, you know? Like I said, I'm a perfectionist. So what did I do? I started stepping my microphone game up, and if you go to my YouTube channel, it's A Photog, P-H-O-T-O-G, Doin, D-O-I-N, videos. It's on YouTube. You'll find me, or you can just type in my name, Ahmed Roberson, or even Ahmed, I'm Creative Roberson, and you'll find me on YouTube. And the last 5 or 6 videos that I did were all about audio, comparing microphones and all that stuff. And I started with my cheaper microphones, which will remain nameless. But then I started to upgrade my microphones because I started to hear better, better audio. And a quick side note, I should have known better because I told you guys before, I did car audio for like 20 something years. And I know how to tune finely tune a good car audio system. So I don't know why I was making it so difficult for myself with the video, but I did it myself. I did it to myself. I was stuck in my own head. But anyway, getting back to the microphones, I started upgrading my microphones as I started to notice that my audio quality wasn't that good. And to be honest, I listened to a lot of different podcasts. I didn't listen all the way through. I was actually studying them, studying their audio quality. And when I first launched my podcast, a lot of you said I sounded great on the microphone. My voice sounded good, strong, really clear. And I thank you for that. You know, round of applause for yourselves. I appreciate the support. But I, being a perfectionist, didn't think it was just there, quite there yet. So, like I said, on my YouTube channels, I started upgrading my microphones, going through different price points and quality levels of microphones. And I finally ended with the microphone. I guess I could say this microphone because I'm not bashing them. I'm actually giving them props, and it's not sponsored, but still, I just want to give them props. The microphone that I use, and some of you may have seen them in my Twitter or Facebook or Instagram or LinkedIn short little podcast promos. I use a Shure microphone. It's the SM7B. I call it God's mic. Why? Because you sound true to life on this microphone. This microphone is awesome. Cost me a pretty penny. Don't like that. But this microphone is awesome. And the microphone that I use for my guests is the Shure SM48. It's not necessarily God's mic, but because of the Shure brand, it's a good quality microphone. But anyway, I made sure I got these microphones. I found a way to do it. Like I said, it cost me a pretty penny, but I had to get it done. But I did it because I wanted to make sure my audio quality started good and remained good. And compared to some of these podcasts that I listen to, it's like, man, are you serious? Like, the audio quality is really bad. And I'm not saying that to just pump myself up. I'm saying that to say, you know, I put my effort into everything that I do. And I think I finally landed at a sweet spot with the microphone that I'm using right now, the Shure SM7B. And I even just recently, like a week ago, updated my audio XLR cables. And I'm wondering if you guys can tell a difference. Is it that much clearer? I am obsessed with getting my audio perfect for you guys so that I can have good quality so you can hear me clearly. You know what I mean? Like I said, some of these podcasts I listen to, you'll hear like some interference in the background, some static, it'll be echoey, something like that. And I get it. I'm not recording in the most perfect space right now. Matter of fact, that reminds me of something, but I digress. I'm not recording in the most perfect space right now, but I think my space is good enough to give you guys good audio. At least I hope so. But anyway, I just had to go off on that little tangent real quick just to say that, you know, I hope my stuff is good enough. I hope I'm up to par with what I'm delivering you guys quality wise. But let's get away from that long roundabout to talk about the topic at hand. And the topic at hand that's on my mind right now, and this is all just freestyle. I'm coming off the top of my head this time. Normally I write bullet points and go from the bullet points, but this time I'm talking directly from the heart. Directly from the heart, directly from the top of my head. And this topic, it actually came up. I don't know why it came up, but I hear people often say, don't work with family. That is the actual topic of this particular podcast. I know I talked you guys ear off initially for about the first 10 minutes, but I wasn't doing that to kill time. I actually had that on my mind. I just wanted to share it with you guys. But anyway, the actual topic at hand for this particular episode is working with family. Should you or should you not? And my thing is, it's a unwritten rule, I guess, floating around the business community that you shouldn't work with family. But I work with family every chance I get. And, you know, maybe it's just me, but I don't have a bad experience with that. You know, my brother is dipping his foot into the business world slowly but surely. Any questions that he has, I answer, you know, whatever he needs to know. I mean, look, man, I'll even tell that dude my secret sauce when it comes to my edits and stuff like that. You know what I mean? But, you know, like other people ask me, you know, how'd you do this? How'd you do that? You know, I can't give away my secret sauce to everybody. You know, that's like inviting somebody to come and stick their hand in your pot of gold. Can't do that. But my brother, you know, who I trust with my life, of course I could give him my secret sauce if he wanted to know that, because I know he's not going to take my secret sauce and sell it to my competition. You know, he wants to grow so he can get his business off the ground, and ultimately his business is our business. You know what I mean? My brother's not the type of person, my family's not the type of people that's going to come into some riches and then just take off and say, you guys have to fend for yourself. You know, my brother's all about family, even more so than me. And that's not a bad thing. It's not that I'm not about family, but my brother's all about family. So with that being said, I can work with my brother in a business venture blindly, you know what I mean? Openly, knowing that it's not going to turn bad, because I know he's not going to take the secret sauce or the secret formula and run off somewhere and basically make a foundation business and riches for himself alone. But I have heard some horror stories of people who have worked with family that just turned out extremely bad. You know, you get somebody who has a good idea that presents it to a family member that may or may not. But for this particular discussion, let's just say that other family member is very business savvy. So a family member approaches the savvy member and says, I have this idea. It's not patented yet, so on and so forth. But if we do this, that, and the other, it can take off. The savvy family member says something like, nah, man, it's okay, but it might not do so well. I don't know about that. You know, 10 days later, they filed a patent for it. They take ownership for it. They filed a DBA business license, got the domain name for it. They got everything for that particular business. And you're sitting there like, hold up, dude. I told you about my business idea. You said it was trash. And then you turned around and, you know, made a business come to life off my idea. And you want to claim it as your own? You know, sadly, and I mean, I'm dead serious. I mean, sadly, people have actually experienced that. I've talked to people who actually have gone through that, trusting family members, presenting their ideas to them, only to have it stolen. And that's cold, man. I don't think anything hurts worse than betrayal. You know what I mean? Especially from a family member. I mean, we've all had good and bad relationships, right? We had relationships where we were betrayed by somebody and it tore our hearts out, right? That hurts. But relatively speaking, that's from a stranger. That's from somebody you met, you may have gotten close with, and then you guys just start seeing things differently, or they did and they just saw an opportunity to take advantage and they took advantage of you. But your family, man, you're not supposed to go through that with family. You know, I can't even fathom the thought. It never crosses my mind. I mean, if my brother came to me with a $1 billion idea, but did not know how to get it off the ground, I'm not going to sit there and tell him, it's okay, bruh. And then as soon as he turns his back, I'm sitting there fiddling online, trying to get a patent for it, trying to register it in my name and, you know, all that, so I could take full ownership of this idea. No, I would never, ever, ever do that. And I know my brother would never, ever, ever do that. Even if we were beefing, which we don't, but even if we were beefing, he wouldn't do anything like that, because that's just the type of guy he is, you know. So, matter of fact, hold up. Let me give my brother a round of applause. Where's that button? Let me make sure I get it right. Yeah, man, I'm not going to say my brother's name on this podcast yet. Matter of fact, I'm not going to have my brother on this podcast until he gets his business off the ground. So you guys stay tuned for that. But anyway, again, going full circle, working with family. Again, I've heard some terrible stories, man. Some terrible, terrible, terrible stories where, you know, one family member has an idea. One family member is putting in all the work to get the idea done, to make the business come to life. And the other family member is just sitting back waiting to collect checks and take all the credit for the business. And that's jacked up. Or, like I said, you got a more savvy business, family member, more business savvy family member rather, and they know the game and they take what you've created and claim it as their own. And there's nothing you can do about it because you didn't know any better. And, you know, you blindly went into your family went up to your family because they're family. They're family. You're not supposed to have these scuffles with your family, these ups and downs, and have to worry about your business idea being stolen from your family. I mean, that's cold, man. I can't even imagine something like that. It's jacked up. But with that being said, you know, if you are into the business world and you have some business ideas and you cannot do it alone and you want to do it with your family member, especially if you know that particular family member is equally as enthused about business and your business ideas like they may have been in the past. If you have a good feeling about it, go ahead and rock with it. You know, go ahead and do it because you know you can trust them. You know that your idea is not going to be taken, stolen, and they're not going to profit from it. You know, but if you have a family member and you think, you know, trust your gut. It's one of those things. Trust your gut because, like, there are some people out there that's just shady. There's just some people like that are shady. Like, I trust my brother blindly. I trust him blindly and he, me, blindly. So if he presented an idea to me, he knows I'm not going to take it and run with it. If I present an idea to him, I know he's not going to take it and run with it from me. But again, there are people that are like that. And again, if you have that feeling that somebody's going to be shady like that, you just have to keep that idea to yourself. It might be better off working with the stranger because the stranger will respect your position better. You know what I mean? Like family will take it as a joke. Sometimes, some cases. I can't just say all family like that, but some cases they will take it as a joke. For example, I'm not going to say any names, but I had a friend of mine. He was pretty much like a family member to me. Had a friend of mine that was down on his luck at one point in time, and he needed some money. So I had a photo shoot to do, and I decided to take him with me to be my light guy, you know, hold my lights for me. And the truth of the matter is I didn't need him to hold my lights. I have light stands and all that. And, you know, I don't necessarily care to, but I can do a whole photo shoot by myself. So I didn't necessarily need him there. But again, it was a friend. He's down and out. And I wanted to give him a little cash just to make sure he could put some food on the table, you know. So I take him with me on a photo shoot. And it happened to be a female model that I was photographing. And, you know, anybody who's ever worked with me, anybody who knows me, knows my background, you know, I am 100% professional when I'm doing my photo shoots. I mean, I'm 100% professional in anything that I like to do, but especially when it comes to my photo shoots, because I put my life into that, right? It is strictly a business. You know, I mean, I've done nude photo shoots with people, with women, and they're 100% comfortable because I'm not sitting there oogling them and gawking and trying to sneak peeks and stuff like that. You know, I talked about that in another episode, you know, your professional integrity, your professionalism and all that, and how a bad review can kill your business. You know, and I'm not just being professional just to make sure I don't get any bad reviews. I'm just a professional as is. That's just the way I'm built. But I took my friend on this photo shoot with me. It was a female model and she wasn't nude. I definitely wouldn't do that. I'm not going to have a studio full of dudes or even women, you know, full of anybody when somebody's exposing themselves, feeling vulnerable during a photo shoot. I just wouldn't do that. But, we were doing a photo shoot. I think I can't recall the actual specifics, but what I do recall is when she was posing, you know, I could hear my buddy in the background like, oh, man, you look good. And I'm like, and I'm looking at him like, dude, what are you doing? I mean, completely mortified. Like, dude, what? I mean, are you serious? But, you know, unfortunately, sometimes people don't take photography as a serious job, you know, because you're just, quote unquote, taking pictures. You know what I mean? But we're going to save that for another episode. But anyway, he wasn't taking what I was doing seriously. And he's sitting there flirting with her because he found her attractive. And I had to pull him aside like, man, what the hell are you doing? Man, she's fine, man. I'm like, okay, but don't do that while I'm on the clock, while I'm shooting a photo, while I'm working with this lady. If you want to talk to her after we're done, after I put all my equipment away, turn my cameras off, and we shake hands and say our goodbyes, you can flag her down and try to talk to her then. But don't do that while we're on the clock, while I'm working. That's an instance where you can't work with family because family doesn't take your business that serious. If you got that type of family member, then again, of course, you can't work with them. You know, in your gut. And you know what? I should have known better. I kind of had a feeling, but Nah, you know what? I take that back. I shouldn't have known better because he should have respected the fact that this is my business. You know, you should know better, you know? You know, yeah, you're a funny guy. You like to crack jokes. Not while I'm on the clock, man. Not while I'm handling business. If we're in a business meeting and the business meeting is tight, maybe it's meant to be tight. We don't need you to be sitting there cracking jokes and stuff to try to lighten up the crowd and get everybody loose. You know, we don't need that. We don't need that at all. What I need you to do is if I hire you, and I was paying this guy, you know what I mean? If I'm hiring you, family or not, to work with me in a particular business venture, I need you to be tight like I am. Because when I go into my business ventures, I'm very serious about what I do because this is my livelihood. So maybe that's something you can take into consideration when you're thinking about working with family. Do they take your business as serious as you do? Or do they feel because they know you, they can just be light and do whatever because we're family? You know what I mean? You have to separate the two. And again, I mean, that just boils down to that particular family member. I trust my family to know if I'm going to do a photo shoot, if I'm going to run a business venture, it's going to be ran tight. I run my ships tight. I've even done business with my cousin years back before I got heavy into my photography when I was trying to be out there club promoting and stuff. I hired my cousin to come work with me and she was on point, like on point to the letter. And that's what I need. She was absolutely on point, you know, and you know, she knows who she is. I don't have to say it, but she gets herself a round of applause too. But she was absolutely on point because when it comes to business, I am as serious as I can possibly be. When I'm not conducting business, I'm as silly as I can possibly be. You know, you guys heard my bad jokes on here. You know, you know what I do. But again, when it comes to business, I am hardcore about the business that I conduct, whether it be with family or not. So maybe as a lesson to myself, as I'm listening to myself, as I'm recording this, right? As I'm talking to myself, I mean, well, talking to you guys too, but like I said, I'm doing this recording with no bullet points. This is just coming from the heart, coming from my mind. Maybe as a note to self, you, before you consider employing or going to that family member with your business idea or your idea of working together, just think back of how that family member conducts their everyday, day-to-day life transactions. Because trust me, it will transfer over into how you run business. You know, if you have a family member that you're thinking about doing business with, but you know they're a hustler, and there ain't nothing wrong with hustling, because basically freelancing is hustling to a certain degree, but I'm talking about a hustler that's always looking for a deal, always trying to undercut somebody, and fast-talking somebody with the silver tongue, maybe that particular person, that particular family member is not the one that you want to work with, depending on your business venture or not. But, you know, if you can look at another family member and know that they're tight when it comes to conducting business and that they're not going to do anything to put your business on the line, because you got to take that in consideration just as well. Sometimes they'll be like, well, in the back of their heads, they're like, it ain't my business. So, you know, if it fails or goes under, ain't got nothing to do with me. You know, they'll just pretty much throw you out to sea, throw you under the bus and let you fail, you know, and then you don't, let's not forget, you got some of them family members that absolutely do not want you to succeed, you know, and I just don't get that. I absolutely do not get that. You know, I want my brother to succeed like tremendously so I can retire. You know what I mean? I want my brother to make riches, big riches. So I could be like, hey, brother, remember you came to me for some business advice and I gave it to you willingly? Well, secretly, I was running a tab and I needed some of that dough. You know what I mean? Nah, I'm just being silly. I'm just being silly. But seriously, you know, just as a note going forward, something to keep in your head, because there's going to be times as a freelancer that you're going to need some help. Me, I'm a little stubborn in that sense. I like to work alone because if I fail, it's all on me. If I succeed, I want it to be on me, but not because I'm greedy, but I just don't want a whole bunch of hands in the pot. I'm not heavily money driven. That's not my motivation when I do things. I know that sounds counterintuitive because I work so much, but I just want to be comfortable. You know, some people say you shouldn't do that. Think big, go big. I kind of don't want billions of dollars. I think it'll stress me out more than having $1 million. Hey, $1 million would be enough. I'll retire off $1 million. You give me $1 million right now after taxes, I swear I retire. So shout out to my brother out there working hard trying to get that million or millions. You know, make sure you stash a little bit aside for me. You know, again, let me go back to the topic at hand. Let me just go ahead and end this podcast really quickly. Again, just take the note, you know, pay attention to your gut feeling. You know, when something's right, something's wrong. You know, a lot of people tend to work with strangers because strangers will respect your position more because you're considered to be the boss when you're working and hiring strangers. You work with and hire family members. Even though you're paying them, they might not consider you the boss because they might consider that they're looking up to you or you're looking down on them. And sometimes family members might have that little bit of hate in them and they don't want to see you succeed. So they're like, you ain't the boss of me. And they'll just do things to sabotage your business. They might not flat out right do it in front of your face, but they're not going to put forth that effort. Like, they'll go to their 9-to-5s and put forth the best effort possible to make sure that 9-to-5 flourishes so they can make sure they get their paychecks. But if you, as a family member, came to them with a business idea that can flourish and make the whole family rich, but you're the boss, they might not respect that. They might be turned off by that or feel, what's the word I'm looking for? Not necessarily intimidated, but disrespected. Maybe they feel like they should be on an equal playing field. And that's a problem too when you're working with family. You know, like if you have a business idea and it's your baby. I mean, you thought of it from conception, whatever the word, I mean, from the very absolute beginning, this business idea is yours 100% across the board. You want to hire a family member for two reasons. One, it's somebody you feel you can trust. And two, you know, they're going to have your back, or at least you believe so, that they're going to have your back. So therefore, they should put forth the same amount of effort that you put into to make your business flourish, because it's going to help you guys all collectively. But what might happen, what could happen, is you come up with this idea 100% yours. You present it to a family member because they're a family member. They feel they can get in close with you and get in closer to the drawing board, I guess you want to call it. And then when the business takes off, you're like, okay, you know, thank you for helping me make my business. I made $2 million. I was paying you, you know, the family hookup, $70 an hour. I was breaking you off some good money, $70 an hour. But they're looking at you like, you got millions, you know, half that should be mine, you know, because they're family. They feel it should be half should be theirs all of a sudden because they're family and you came up. So therefore I come up. But if you were to work with a stranger, If that same family member was to work with a stranger with the exact same business idea and the exact same results, where that stranger ended up making $1 million off their product and they paid your family member $60, $70, $80 an hour, they'll be good with that. They'd be like, yeah, man, I was working with such and such. Business took off. They made $2 million. Hey, but they was paying me $80 an hour. That's good dough. But for you, because you're family, $80 ain't good enough all of a sudden. Here comes the hate. Here comes the sabotage. So in that sense, working with family, it might not be the best idea. But again, it just depends on how close your family is, you know, and you still have to explain things to your family member, but you got to make sure that they understand and know that that's your baby. Like, my money is not our money. You know, I joke about my brother, you know, he makes some riches that he's going to go ahead and retire me. You know, I joke about that. But at the same time, because we're a close family, I know if he had millions, you better believe your boy's getting some millions in there too. I'm getting my millions. I know he listened to my podcast. My brother always supports my podcast. He's always listening. So stack that money, brother. I'm waiting for my check. But I digress. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and close this episode out. I hope you got the point. I know I did ramble a little bit. I talked around about, but ultimately, I hope you got the message of what I'm trying to convey here. You know, working with family, just do your due diligence. You know, see how that family member is in their day-to-day life practices, what they do on a regular basis, how they interact with their friends, how they interact with their girlfriend, somebody that they consider close to them. You know, I mean, you're considering working with them because they're family members, so you already got that trust. But look beyond how they work with the immediate family. That way you get a real good idea of what their character can be like. You know, look and see how they deal with their boyfriends or girlfriends. Look how they deal with their close friends, how they treat their kids, how they treat their pets. I don't know. You know, just look for anything in their character that you think you might not know, just to see how it'll come down, how it'll happen if your business takes off. You know, play a game of cards for some money and make sure you win to see how they react to losing money. You know, just to see their character. Because again, if your business takes off and you start making millions of dollars, are they going to get all salty and reach in the pot and be like, well, half this should be mine because I did the work with you, even though the idea was yours 100%. You know, you just got to see how they react to that. Got to see how they react. Like I said, if my brother made millions, do I expect half? Of course not. Even if I gave him my secret sauce and walked him all the way through it, it was his idea. I don't expect half, you know, but that's just my family dynamic. But how's your family dynamic in considering working with family? You know, mine is good. And I'm very, very thankful, you know, thankful to my parents for how they raised us. My grandparents, you know, it all rolls downhill from them. They raised us well. And, you know, family's tight, family's close. That's how we get down. But is it the same with yours? I hope it is. That way, if you want to work with somebody you feel you can trust, definitely should feel you can trust family. I know I do. I trust my brother blindly. I mean, hell, man, as soon as I bought my first house, I gave him a set of keys. Immediately gave him a set of keys. Knows the passcode to the security, all that stuff. I trust my family, with impunity, right? What's that? Am I using that right? You know, just blindly. I trust them blindly. So anyway, this is Ahmed. I'm Creative Roberson, and you can find me. I have a Twitter. I do have a Twitter account. Let me go ahead and applaud myself. I have a Twitter account, and my Twitter is Ahmed. I'm Creative Roberson. I believe, you know, I only use the same call sign, my name, you know, I'm Creative Roberson everywhere. So you can find me on LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, and on YouTube, as you could look for Ahmed, I'm Creative Roberson, or just look for A Photog Doing Videos, and you'll find me there too. Or you can just go to my website, arobersonphoto.com, or just type in Ahmed Roberson on the internet, and it'll direct you to me. But I don't have to tell you about my podcast, because if you're listening, you know where to go to find me. And I will see you guys next week, next Tuesday, with a different topic, and we'll get into it. And if you have questions, Q&A, you want something specifically answered, send me an email directly at Ahmed@arobersonphoto.com. I'll see you guys next week.